Again, I'm happy to see each of you out this evening, and I know that you have come in anticipation. My brother is always quick to agree to preach. Actually, it's almost like he jumps at the chance to preach, and I tell you, as a pastor, you really like to see that. I like to see that anyway. Those that are eager and quick to be of service. And I know it's pleasing to me. It's pleasing to anyone who's served in a leadership capacity to see people that are ready to do it. And I know it's pleasing to the Lord. I know it's pleasing to the Lord because I know that's what He expects from each of us. We have been given so much. We can never repay. So when there is a small opportunity to be of service, He would expect us to go forward cheerfully and readily. And I know my brother would appreciate your prayers, your attention, your smiles. I know that he has made preparation. I know that he takes this work very seriously. I know he is a very spiritual man. So I know that the Lord is going to touch him as he delivers his service. So I want you to be mindful of that, that it is through the Spirit that he is speaking this evening. Our brother Darren.
Heard? Okay. Welcome, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I couldn't have given a better introduction to the sermon that God has given me than what our brother Steve gave about what God expects of us. He mentioned that I jump at the opportunity to preach. It wasn't always that way. First, I was scared when I was first called. And then many of you know we were robbed on our way to Honduras a couple weeks after I was ordained. And I was kind of baptized with fire, I guess. And I remember when that happened. And Johnny had been shot through the femoral artery, and he had already passed out, and he should have died within 5 minutes. I remember laying on my hands on his head, and I thought the robbers had stolen my oil with everything else, and just praying to God, in the name of Jesus Christ, please heal him. With faith that was gifted to me, it wasn't of my own. And he answered that prayer, and he saved us from that situation. And I remember thinking after that, God, I'll preach. But in the coming years after that situation, I had been called to Honduras. And I hate to admit it, my whole heart wasn't in it. And so I had to come back. And we've wanted to go back to Honduras because I know I was called there. And I know at some point I'll be there. But we're waiting till it's God's time. At the time, my whole heart wasn't in it. I didn't jump at the chance to preach all the time. I really missed hearing other people preach because I was the only one. At times, I was the only minister of the Church of Christ down there. But now I jump at the chance because I know that any chance I've got to praise my God, I want to do it. I want to receive His blessings. I want to be able to see His miracles because I'm willing to obey Him. Hopefully I've learned my lesson. I'm so amazed by the way that God's Spirit works through His body in so many different ways. Today I preached this morning at the temple lot, and I preached on another subject. And the hymn that that God gave our sister Manon to choose just wrapped up my sermon. Of course, he gave it to her before I preached. She had no clue. And then once again tonight, God gave somebody, whoever chose the hymns, the words that we needed. And it says, "Let us, brothers, let us gladly give to God our all, our best. Service hearty, honest, with a living love impressed. All our duty, all our striving, all our time to Him belong. Praise Him then with true devotion. Come before Him with a song." And that is what He deserves. He deserves a life, a living sacrifice, that we offer up our service to Him. And I was led by God to give a sermon just encouraging us to walk that walk, to be the member of His body that He's called us to be, to perform that function, that part of the body that He's called us to function as, to perform as. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to start reading a little warning to us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. The book of the... Oh, excuse me. Wrong chapter. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" It's a warning to us. I'm not going to focus on what the oil is, which sometimes we do. I'm going to focus on that this is a call out, a warning to be prepared, to be obedient to the commandments of God, as we promised to do when we were baptized, to serve Him to the end. Because that's how you'll know us, if we did the things that Christ did, if we obeyed Him, obeyed His word, if we walked after his example, if we lived our lives based on the merits of Christ, he'll know us. And so this is a warning to us that we should be prepared, that we should obey him, that in this life, while we have the opportunity, we should serve him. We should jump at the chance, as our brother said. I'm going to continue in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It reminds me of times when I've read the Word of God and I've seen the faith of the sons of Mosiah as God changed their hearts along with Alma, the son of Alma, and they knew that they were the very vilest of sinners, and yet God had mercy on them. And then they saw their brethren, the Lamanites, and they hoped. They hoped that these brethren who weren't raised like they were with the knowledge of this God and the knowledge that he answers prayer and the knowledge of his commandments, they had the desire that these brethren, the Lamanites, would also come to know this God. And they had a hope that they too could be saved, that they could believe, and that they could have faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so they had this substance of things hoped for. But others said, oh no, you shouldn't go up there. They're going to kill you. They had hope that they could save one soul. And they had evidence, the Holy Spirit within them guiding them. They fasted and prayed, asked for God's guidance, and God told them they'd be saved. God told their father, Mosiah, they'd be saved, they'd be kept alive. They suffered. They suffered to serve God. But they had faith. Their goal was to serve God, not to live comfortably. And when I read about them, it gives me hope to be able to serve God in the same way. Somehow I can be of service to him. And it gives me hope for my brothers and sisters. I just love seeing the way that God works through different people and the different talents they have. And I'll go into that further, but when we read another scripture. But it gives me great hope to look out through the whole church, through the East Local, through the Phoenix Local, and I think of my different brothers and sisters and what different gifts they have that God has given them. And he's waiting to just use those gifts in all his power. He's waiting for us to ask, what should I do, God? And give us that answer and provide for us that opportunity to serve him. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And the author of this book, to the Hebrews, I think it's Paul, but it seems like it never names who it is, but I'm not positive about that. But the author goes and lists all these people down through the ages, people who by faith served God. And one of them, he lists as Enoch here in verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I want to have that testimony. I want to get to him one day at that last day, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I want that for all of us here. Well done, good and faithful servant. Can you imagine hearing that from God? What a blessing. The next verse is what I want to get to. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Doesn't that just make you want to diligently seek him? Get in your closet and pray to him and stop all the commotion, all the busyness, and just be with him. Turn with me now to Jacob. Chapter 2, verse 14. What keeps us from seeking him diligently? I think this sermon from Jacob keeps a lot of us from seeking, well, what he is pointing out in the sermon, his warning, I think, is a warning to a lot of us. I know it is to me. Jacob chapter 2, verse 14. And now, behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you and to your seed, doth abound most plentifully. And the hand of providence hath smiled upon you most pleasingly, that you have obtained many riches. Are riches bad? No. But the love of riches, the love of money is. And because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than that of your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts, and wear stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel, and persecute your brethren, because that ye suppose that ye are better than they. I hope none of us persecute those that are more poor than us. But sometimes I even find myself staying away from other people. Maybe because they're mentally ill, or they're... I bring that up because last week we had a lady come in after church, and she came in and she ended up having to be taken out by the police. She was on drugs, and she was acting crazy in the church. But, you know, God wants us to reach all his people. I was uncomfortable. And I wondered after that incident, had I not done enough? to reach out to her. I live in a neighborhood that is, well, in some sections it's very wealthy. Mine is one of the cheapest houses there. I wonder if that was a good decision. I thought it was a good decision. I could sell it later for a good price, and then we could go to Honduras. I wonder. I wonder if I was close enough to the Lord at that time when I made that decision. I thought it was God's will. So I think that sometimes, well, I was thinking, you know, it's a good place to live. It's my kids can be around better examples. But then I think, you know, some people who live in poorer neighborhoods where there's drug activity going on, they can reach out to those people and their kids can see that example. So I'm pointing out, I guess, that sometimes we can be influenced by riches. And I hope I did the right thing, but I want to draw closer to him so that I know I'm doing the right thing. Verse 17, "And now, my beloved, and now, my brethren, do ye suppose that God justified you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he condemneth you. And if ye persist in these things, his judgments must speedily come unto you. Oh, that he would shew you that he can pierce you, and with one glance of his eye, he can smite you to the dust." I want that fear of God always. I want to decide in this life to serve him and to remember that eye. Verse 20, "Oh, that he would rid you from this iniquity and abomination. And oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commands, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all." Be like family with all. "And free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after that ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches, if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted." I'm so thankful that we have brothers and sisters in the Church of Christ who really desire to do this. And we see it strong in I remember my sister Belinda. I remember long ago just seeing the love that she had for those who were poorer and who were hungry. And I remember going with her on those Salvation Army routes. And what a joy that was. And then going to Honduras with my brother John and sister Nana and seeing the same thing. I remember hearing my testimonies of my brother Hube and my brother Norman Warfield and just all these different brothers and sisters in the Church of Christ who have lived this testimony of desiring to be familiar with all. And I'm so thankful to see this scripture fulfilled in the body. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to start at the very beginning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by mercies, and I'm going to read through this, but I'd like you to pay attention to every word because there is so much meat in this chapter of what we should be doing, the love that we should have for one another, the love of Christ, that fruit of the Spirit that manifests itself in so many ways. Long-suffering, peace, gentleness, meekness. And this is just another list of fruit of that pure love of Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Jump at the chance. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Isn't it reasonable that we offer ourselves a living sacrifice after the sacrifice our Lord and Savior has made for us? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that it which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. I'm going to read that one again. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. No, excuse me, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst not, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And I'm going to add to that, not to add to the word of God, but because I've read it in other places. Or he might come to God. Let's read Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right side, on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, excuse me, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed ones. Excuse me, ye cursed. Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, it did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Will you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12? And this scripture is the author's response to that chapter 11 about faith and about all those many witnesses down through history of people who served God by faith. It says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people down through history who served God by faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, every distraction, every fear, every doubt, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In spite of the shame, he suffered on the cross. He humbled himself. And sat down, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So this walk we have before us that could be a walk that we suffer as Christ suffered, or that we suffer as one of the sons of Mosiah suffered, it's possible that we have that walk before us. But let's consider Christ, who suffered all he suffered for us. For our sins, and for our salvation, and for our peace, and for mercy upon our souls, let us have that same love. It says, For ye have not yet resisted unto blood. I take that as a chastisement to me. I know that's true of me. I know I have more to do. I know I have more. I know I need to draw out to him more. I know I need to seek him more diligently. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not. And don't you want to be his sons and daughters? We should endure chastening then, so that we can, with patience, become perfect through faith on him. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and are not sons. My last scripture tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That's all of us who have been baptized with his Spirit. We can serve him well with that Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one, and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased God. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of angels and have not charity, I am become nothing. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It reminds me of our brother Moroni, when he told us to cry out to God for that charity, that pure love of Christ. Because with that love, we can fulfill the gifts that and serve God truly with the gifts that he's given each member of the body. And he's given each one of us a gift. remember the first sermon I think I ever heard in the Church of Christ, and I don't remember who preached it. But he said, "Don't let Christ die on the cross in vain for your life. Do what you were called to do. Serve him with a glad heart. Let your body be a living sacrifice." There are so many people who have not heard the message of hope, who don't know of this gift of the Church of Christ that we have. We are so blessed to have Christ, first of all, but to have one another, to have God's Word, to be able to stand on because it's true, it's a living foundation, and He has a purpose for us, each one of us. Let's be ready to serve Him with a cheerful heart.